Hey, welcome to the Killer Frogs, a podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 138 for Thursday, November 21st, 2019. And on tonight's podcast, it's a smaller group, but we've got TCU Hall of Famer W.C. Nix. What's up, Dubber?
Not a whole lot. Great week. Coming off win and everything. Basketball team playing well. Everything's good right now.
Oh, yeah. Everything is good. And we'll talk a little bit about that basketball game here in just a minute. And also joining us on tonight, we've got Hunter Nix. What's up, Hunter?
What is up? Just good week. Yeah, it's always good after a win.
Yeah, great week. Great weather tonight. It's like 77 degrees and in fall. So, you know, it's 20 degrees last week. It's 77 this week. Hey, it's Texas. So you got to love fall in Texas. So let's talk a little bit about that basketball game that Dubber brought up just a minute ago. And TCU, you know, it's being touted as TCU escapes a close game against Air Force. We did pull away at the end, but Dubber, you were at the game. What did you see out of the men's club?
Well, you know, I never as crazy as it is, I never felt threatened or anything. No, I think they've got to figure out. They've got a lot of moving parts right now. You know, when you go out there, you know, I've got season tickets. It's a different team from last year. I mean, totally.
Oh yeah.
I mean, from what the starters were to the backups coming in to this year, you know, it's a totally different team. And then they just got two kids. I mean, right before the game started, the Jaden Ladeed and Deontay Smith, the freshman, and Jaden is transferred from Ohio State. I mean, they got eligible right before that game.
Yeah.
Right.
So all of a sudden, he kind of put them in the mix. You know, he just wasn't expecting that. So, you know, got two more people. He's trying to get the flow of the game and stuff like that. You know, they got some depth. I like this Jaden kid. He looks strong. He looks like he's a rebounder. He looks like he, you know, kind of can beat you up underneath we got hot. They started shooting, and we went ice cold. I mean, second half, probably a good 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes that we didn't hit nothing.
Right.
But I still didn't, you know, even when they got close, I never felt like they were going to, you know, I never thought that we totally lost control, and then we kind of regained our composure, and we did enough to, you know, to win it. So, you know, I just think, you know, this first games are going to lead like that because of having to play so many young and new people. And, you know, Bain looked pretty good except for he got cold. And then Samuels is a stud. Samuels is an animal. He's something else.
Yeah. Well, I think, like you said, there was never really any doubt how this game was going to go. It didn't feel like it was out of control, even when we did go cold there for that it was a lot longer than I felt comfortable with. But even after that, it was like, okay, well, we still have the guys to be able to take this game easily, and this shouldn't be an issue. But it was a bit of a dogfight there towards the end, and then we pulled away. But, you know, good win for the Frogs. And I think I read somewhere where I think in the RPI we're top 5 right now. Which is awesome.
We're going to be all right, I think. I mean, I just think, you know, we got a lot of moving parts. You know, the very first game, Francisco, whatever, I can't pronounce it. Farabello, I guess.
Yeah, Francisco Farabello.
Yeah,
the first game, I was a little worried about it, you know, because I just think he was so tentative. But the last two or three games, he's really started kind of showing why he got recruited. He can dish the ball. He can shoot. I mean, he got control. The first game, he's just real. I just felt like he was real tentative. But the last couple of games I've seen him, he's really kind of come out of his shell. So I was a little worried about the point guard position, but every time he plays a little more and a little more, I feel better about it.
Yeah, I didn't know much about basketball, just the basketball team coming into this year, but I've kept up with him just because he was a really interesting recruit. Came from, like, the NBA Academy in Australia, I think.
Argentina.
Argentina, but he's lived in like Australia, lived in Spain, like played. I think his dad was a professional player over there. So like the kid is, eat, sleep, and breathe basketball for years. So, I think it's. I think he's going to be pretty good for us. It's. I'm excited about him just because it's a cool story. We got this guy from. I'm into the Euros at this point with between Luka and Dirk. So that's where I'm at on that.
Yeah, we should mention the Mavs are currently destroying Golden State by like 40 points right now in the third
Yeah.
quarter. So,
Well, he's a four star, and he was like 105th best recruit, supposedly, and
yeah.
10th, top 10 in point guard. So,
Yeah, he's a.
yeah, he's got some studs. I'm gonna tell you. You go reading his all the bios of him. It's the who's who if they can just kind of put it all together and stuff like that.
Yep, still pretty young.
Well, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's definitely a
Yeah.
good thing.
Yeah. And if these guys could start to play a little bit better and improve like we're seeing and continue that improvement, that'll be something to watch for the rest of the season. That's going to be a really fun team to see down the stretch. So, but speaking of making improvements week after week, let's talk about the TCU football win in Lubbock. And the improvement week after week that we're starting to see now with Max Duggan at the helm with this offense, and Hunter, you gotta like how the offense has kind of progressed here this week.
It just, every week you see a few more things and you're like, all right, we're gonna be okay. This is the growing pains. Yes, we had the really rough game the week before, and then all of a sudden Max comes out and he played like a stud, definitely in the first half. And then it seemed like we got a little bit conservative there in the early second half. But we kept it alive. We figured out a way to win, and no turnovers. So that was a big one. So,
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no turnovers on offense, but the defense was certainly ball hawking on
yes.
Saturday, and that was nice to see.
Definitely.
Especially Scott's game sealing, punch out there with that ball, and that was good to see. It was good to see the defense kind of get up, just get in their face and just have fun out there, and they were flying to the ball. But Dubber, let me get back to you on this on the offensive side. The offensive line obviously struggled a lot against Baylor. Had a better game against Tech.
They definitely had a better game. I was reading something. I guess they're to their fourth string offensive tackle. They're
Yep.
when they had a couple get hurt. Last game and a Baylor game, and so they're trying to patch in and try to fill in. They're moving players around, and so. But I did feel like they played better. I felt like, at times I saw them where they were trying to finish off blocks and give Max some time and stuff. And really and truly, if you get right down to it, it was a don't get me wrong, it was a team win. But I really feel like in some ways the offense carried the day in Tech. The defense came up with some opportune time stop and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I think Patterson would agree with that. I didn't hear his press conference or anything, but I felt like that the offense carried the day. And hey. I don't know how good a running team we're going to be from here on out. We're beat up, but Max has got to keep running. Then we got to throw the ball too. The good thing is I think that plays in our hand a little bit because I just think we're so beat up on the offensive line to a point that we got to throw the ball some and
Forcing us to grow up in that.
most people are going to let us throw the ball because they keep thinking freshman, you got to let him go. And but I she we keep looking better every week. You kind of see a little more, like Hunter said, a little more that it becomes Max's team, and he's kind of running it now and running the offense, and that's good to see. And like you said, we had to have another receiver step up and Barber stepping up, and that's the best game could have happened. It's good for Rager too. Maybe it gets him where he's a little open. Plus, maybe it gives him somebody else that might be giving him a little competition on the team as being the best receiver.
Yep.
And Yeah, definitely.
there's nothing wrong with that good old competition thing.
Well, I'd certainly
Definitely.
like to be able to see, the Cumbie kind of open up the playbook a little bit, try to run some different routes to try to get Rager the ball. Now that you've got Barber and you got Wells, and you obviously have three targets that can work any part of the field, let's see them actually start to be used. And I think we see that a little bit in Tech. We saw a little bit of it in Baylor. Not nearly as much as I would have liked to have seen, but I think going back to what you were talking about, Dubber, about this finally being Max's team, I think we saw that in that third overtime run by Duggan that unfortunately was called back, which I think every Frog fan, and if you saw Larry Burdine's little tweet about that where he had a picture of the cleat mark, it's like he was obviously inbounds. But that one run after that, this was definitely his team, and you've got everybody behind him on this, and he is an amazing talent. And so I agree with you. I think the offense carried the day against Tech, and it's nice to see the offensive line have a good game. But I'm a little worried, though, going into Oklahoma with that offensive line, with the shuffle that you mentioned before, because as we've talked about in the past, offensive line, you got to work as one cohesive unit. How do you see all of that shuffling affecting, you know, the timing that Duggan's going to be able to throw the ball, and just pass blocking and run blocking as we move into Oklahoma?
Well, I think we're going to have to be creative. I mean, you know, I would open up the zone read and let him read it instead of just handing the ball off. Because, you know, I think there's several times you'll see that Mac, you know, he hands off the ball and everybody's sitting there going, "What? Keep it." You know, that nobody's there. Mm-hmm. Well, that's because it was a called.
Yeah, they're calling him to give the ball off.
Yeah. I think they need to back off and let him read that more so that he can take opportunities with that. You know, I mean, right tackle, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, right now they played a freshman.
That's triage right now.
That's played in his third game now, or coming up to be his third game, or it's supposed to be his fourth game. If we don't,
yeah.
If we don't get anybody healthy,
and he's going to have to burn it.
Well, I think Patterson, he said he is going to play this week.
So he'll play. Yeah, so he's got one more game this game, and then of course the Ellison on defense being in it. Ellison,
he said he's playing.
Yeah,
he's going to play the rest of the year. He's probably going to start the rest of the year.
But and I tell you what, offensive line's just a little bit harder to throw a kid in. Now the training and everything has gotten a lot better where you can do it, you know, a little easier. But still, there's a lot. It's more than just brute strength and you know, athletic ability. You got to, like I said, you got to work with the other four guys, and if one's not working, and you know, I just think Chris Thompson doing a good job of patchworking. You know, we now started reading more and more about it. I didn't realize how much they were moving that right side around. And then I didn't realize, you know, two or three people dropped, and here we are playing our fourth offensive tackle, you know, and stuff like that, you know. And so all I could hope for, knock on wood, that they get a little more healthy, you know, and where they don't have to maybe rely on him as much. But, hey, when your numbers are down, you know, you just got to get after people.
Yep, next guy up. Well, speaking of next guy up, losing Gladney at the start of that second half, and then we're going to lose him again, first half? So
first half.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much lose him for an entire game, basically, at this point, right?
Yeah.
That is going to be a massive impact on this defense.
Well, thanks, too, because it happened literally like 13 minutes left in the second or the third quarter.
Yeah,
so
within the first minute and a half or so,
he is missing the maximum amount of time that you can, you know, that you can miss. If he does it in the last 2 minutes of the quarter, he's back to start this week. So it's just kind of poor timing, which, you know, there's not much I think you can do about it. But yeah, it's gonna be rough. It's gonna be tough first half without him.
I just hate it because I don't think it. I mean, I don't know what a defensive player is supposed to do when a receiver is running at you and you're running toward the ball at that point in time, and he catches it, he ducks, and you're right in his face. I didn't, you know, they said, well, he hit him with his helmet. Well, yeah. I mean,
where's he supposed to hit him?
He ducked his helmet into you. So I didn't, you know, I mean, I understand he hit him in the head. They went hit him, but it wasn't him that instigated that part of it.
Right.
And the only thing he could have did was, is totally trying to fall out of the way, not tackling, but fall out of the way and not just totally try to miss him. Now, how stupid that look if he falls out of the way and trying to miss him. The
guy he runs and scores a touchdown.
Yeah, scores a touchdown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, you can't be mad at someone like that.
I don't understand that. That rule drives me crazy because of that reason right there. And, you know, if you're DB, let me tell you, I was on the sideline for a college game about 2 years ago. And let me tell you, they come running out of bounds. And you know, I was a college football player. I've been around the sport. It's not like, but you forget how fast these guys are. And I mean, they're on you in a dime. I mean, I'm telling you, Zoom. I mean, I'm just telling you the reaction time they have sometimes is ridiculous. There's no reaction time because of the speed of the game and everything. And I don't know what they're supposed to do. I hate it for us, and I hate it for Gladney both. You know, because I have seen now watching most of the defensive player, I think Gladney's probably top two, three corner. Oh, yeah. Big 12, he might be the best one in the Big 12.
Yeah, by the way, he got his Senior Bowl invite last week. So he's going to the Senior Bowl. So, yeah, I mean, he's our Senior Bowl guy. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I think this week it stinks more than anything because I really do think this would have been a huge week for him as far as his NFL evaluation.
Yeah.
Just because he's going up against CeeDee Lamb and, you know, some of those good receivers at Oklahoma. And I think this would have been a shot for him to just, you know, there's not many times you get to – up against an NFL receiver, and CeeDee Lamb definitely is one of those. It's kind of one of those deals that it stinks for him because, you know, the guy really should get this opportunity to play against him for the full game. And I was really looking forward to that, just that matchup, you know, you know, we're looking at probably, you know, one of the top three receivers and probably the top corner in the league. So it's disappointing, but at the same time, you know, just kind of got a next man up it because you can't be upset at Gladney. Football, you know, it's anyone that's played and people that haven't, I'm not saying that, but anyone that's played knows, like, you can't. What is he supposed to do? Just not hit the guy? I mean, he's been trained to do one thing his whole life, and then they're like, hey, but whenever he's defenseless, you slow down. It's –
Well, but you also got to imagine CeeDee Lamb's probably sitting there thinking, dang it, because he's going to be playing a first half, probably happy that he's going to play against, you know, a backup wide receiver, but then he's going to have to play against Gladney coming off the bench.
Yeah.
And that's just going to be crazy. Because Gladney's going to be 100%, and he's going to want to prove himself in that second half.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So
he's playing?
Gladney? I'm getting rained on here. Hold on a second, guys.
Who?
CD, what did he hurt last week?
I don't think so.
I thought he would. I didn't think he suited up. I thought he was out. Well, I don't know if I thought he was out against Baylor.
He might have been, but if he was, I mean, I think he'll be back. I haven't seen anything that says he's going to be out this week.
Well, okay. Well,
yeah, I think he's slated to play this week.
Mm-hmm. Well. It's going to be a good game.
That being said, I will say last week made me a little bit more excited about just our team in general. Seeing as, you know, at one point when Gladney goes out, we've got like 8 freshmen or redshirt freshmen on the defense playing all at once. I mean, we are young on defense.
Yeah.
You got to think, you got our 2 corners next week that are going to start or play a bunch, 2 true freshmen, safety, end, other linebacker. I mean, we're everywhere, freshmen. And then, you know, you look at that, and then Trevon Morrig's only a sophomore. We got a lot of depth and a lot of young guys that are playing right now.
Yep.
Coach Juan Mathis is still just a freshman. I mean, that's the thing. We're very young.
Yes, we are.
Well, as Patterson likes to remind us every week during his press conference.
True. Yeah. And yes.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong.
He's not.
Well, he doesn't mind because every game, I hate to say it, but what did the freshmen usually forget their assignment one time?
True.
There's usually one big run, one big pass, one big where nobody's open. I mean, where nobody's even covering somebody.
Yep.
You know, so.
No doubt there is. It's been, you know, we've had our growing pains, but there is something to be happy about. You know, we still made a win last week without Gladney in the second half, and you know, a lot of those young guys.
Well, and it's nice having all those young guys for the future.
Yep, and, exactly.
You know, hopefully they've learned something over the last couple of weeks between the three overtime game against Baylor and then, you know, going into Lubbock and playing against Tech. So, moving into Oklahoma, hopefully we won't see as many mistakes out of these young guys.
Exactly. And, yeah, I mean, it's good to have some of these young guys right now with how we're having to do everything. You know, we've got so many of them starting. I think Cole Ellison's starting now. We're going to have definitely a corner. Wyatt Harris, Ben Wilson. I mean, we've had a lot of young guys. So not just for next year, but just to finish out this year strong.
Right. Yep. Well, let's talk about Oklahoma here, and it's going to be a little bit of a shorter podcast tonight, but let's talk about expectations going into this Oklahoma game and whether or not we think, you know, this team has enough over the next two games to get bowl eligible. So let's start off with Oklahoma. What do you guys want to see out of this team going into Norman?
I want to see two things. Consistency and just – I just want to see them lay it all out on line. We have nothing to lose. I mean, you know, the pressure's not on us. And I have a feeling we're going to go play good. You know, I look at Oklahoma, and everybody says, oh, man, Oklahoma's going to kill you. Well, you know what? We have had one team blow us out, Iowa State. We did not play good there. I mean, they put, but you look at Oklahoma, they played Baylor close, should have got beat, really and truly. I mean, if Baylor doesn't have epic choking, you know, I mean, it was fairly epic. I mean, yeah, that was huge. And then, you know, you look at who beat them, Kansas State.
Yep, K-State. Mm-hmm.
Then they played who else? Somebody else they played very close.
The last 3 weeks before this week, they lost to Kansas State. Yep. They beat Iowa State by one.
Yeah.
And then they beat Baylor by three.
Yeah.
I mean, they played pretty close. And then they beat Texas by a touchdown. You know, people have scored on them.
Well, so my whole deal is they're not just blowing people out either.
No.
You know, they did that first few weeks in their preseason games or whatever, but –
Yep.
Since we've been in conference, it's not like they're just laying 100 on people and nobody can score on them. Yeah. Everybody seems like they played close. So I feel like if we go out and play loose and play hard and play, you know, and just play a little consistent, I think it's going to be a great game.
I think it could be for sure. Their defense has definitely been less than advertised after the past couple weeks.
That seems to be their MO year after year, though.
Definitely.
Heisman
no, for sure.
Quarterback, not so good on defense.
Yeah, definitely. But they were talking about it real hard the first couple weeks. So we got this new defensive coordinator. Look at us. We held South Dakota to 14 and UCLA to 14, you know, Tech, Kansas. But then ever since, you know, anyone who's worth the crap at this point this year has scored over, you know, close to 30 or over. So. Mm-hmm.
And I will say this, I think we're going to have to score points.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to score.
we can't do a field goal.
We can't do the whole, hey, let's try to keep them under 28 and we'll score, you know, we'll score that and hope they stay under 30. I don't see that happening.
Well, that's the other thing I hope. I hope if we get out there close and it's fourth and one and we're going to kick a field goal or have a chance to get another first down to go score, we need touchdowns, not field goals.
Yep, well, you know, agreed. Patterson, whatever it is about playing in Norman, brings out, you know, the gambler in Patterson. Yep. I mean, we've seen it time after time after time. So I don't know what it is about playing in front of the Sooners, but I don't expect to see the same Patterson that we saw against Tech or Baylor. I assume, you know, like you said, we have nothing to lose at this point. Might as well go ahead and leave it all out on the field.
Yep. Yep, I mean, have a good time. Let's have fun with it. Let the kids play. Let, you know.
You have nothing to lose at all here.
Yeah. No. Well, everyone's kind of expecting that the season's going to boil down to the West Virginia game. So, you know, when you're talking about, you know, the talking heads, so nobody's really expecting you guys to go in there and beat Oklahoma. So, why not?
Yeah, why not do it? That's right. Wouldn't it be awesome, you know, to get a bowl eligible with freaking – Oklahoma.
Yep.
I mean, At this point in time, I think it'd be a miracle if we got anybody in the Final Four, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just go ahead and knock the one team out anyway.
Oh, yeah. Well, who is that? The Tulsa Register or something today was talking about, you know, Oklahoma looking for a playoff berth come with TCU coming into town. And it was like,
the only way they're
playoffs. Really? Playoffs? Like, come on.
The only way they're making playoffs is they blow out us and blow out Oklahoma State the last one. I just don't see that happen.
Well, and then they're going to need help. They're going to
Yeah, and then they need help.
There's just no way.
I think Oregon and Utah, one of them's going to come through. You know, one of them's going to come through with it all. They ain't going to get rid of their SEC team. So they're, you know, they're all going to.
LSU is in unless.
And Clemson ain't going anywhere. Clemson's not going anywhere, you know. So, you know, Georgia, you know, I mean, you know, right now I don't think they're going anywhere, you know.
No.
Alabama, yeah. I mean, they could cause some problems for people. So I just think this is a year. I mean, we could be in trouble. I mean, as far as the conference. Getting left out, you know.
Yep.
Especially if Oregon or Utah comes through with the Pac-12 because they've been year after year after year, they keep getting left out.
Well, I mean, it looks like they're going to meet in the Pac-12 championship game, and one of them's going to come away with just one loss, so the other one's probably going to be undefeated. So at that point in time, you know, how do you pass up an undefeated Pac-12 champion for a one-loss Oklahoma?
Yep. And then, you know, that if Oregon wins it out, and you know, the only team they got beat by was Auburn,
and that was week one,
and it was a really good game, you know.
Yeah, and it was week one, so you get. I mean, that's the thing too. You can't lose late in the season, and I mean, they lost. Oklahoma lost in October. You can kind of give Oregon the benefit of the doubt playing Auburn the first game in Jerry World. You could almost say that's a home game for Auburn compared to being in Oregon, whereas, you know, OU just lost to K-State. So,
well, yeah. That's and who did K-State just get beat by? Did West Virginia? Who did West Virginia just beat? Did they beat K-State this week?
I don't think so.
Who West Virginia play?
I don't know.
Hold on 1 second. I'll look it up for you.
They may have.
Kansas State. Yeah, they beat K-State.
Oh, so they beat K-State. Okay.
Well, that just hurts Oklahoma's chance right there.
Exactly.
Too. I mean, you know, you're talking about somebody that they're talking about West Virginia being in the top bottom third of the conference. Really, they were second to their
past. Rock bottom.
And so all of a sudden, you know, they knock off K-State. So that one loss to Oklahoma makes that Oklahoma loss look even worse.
Definitely. So
yeah, I just don't see the committee putting Oklahoma in unless a lot of things happen over the next couple of weeks, and I just don't see that happening either.
Well, I have no remorse at all. Let's add it up. Let's go beat Oklahoma.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's talk about score predictions then. Hunter, let's start with you.
I'm going to go with, as I said, you know, it wasn't going to be 28 points. I'm going to say it's going to be 34-31 our way, just like they beat Baylor last week.
Okay, I like the symmetry there. Dubber?
Well, he kind of
he took your score.
35, let's see, you're up 30. I'll say 38-31.
Okay. All right, 38-31. So you guys are both sticking with the 31 for Oklahoma.
Yes.
So then questions. So just like when Baylor showed the video of the, was it the Sooner Schooner? Flip it over, and then they didn't score another point after that point. Do we say Oklahoma goes up 31 points in the first half, Gladney comes in and shuts them down in the second half?
I hope not, but let's do it. Whatever.
I don't think my heart could take it.
Let's bring Bram back, too. I don't care. Whatever, man. Let's put Downing in. Let's just get weird.
I like Bram's game up there in Norman. That was a fun game.
It was.
That was the game that Mike Stoops threw the stapler out the window. That was a fun one. Memories. Anyway, so I'm gonna say I'm gonna go in the same vein. Let's say TCU 35. No, 38. I gotta give Jonathan Song, who, by the way, if you haven't gone and voted for the Lou Grazzo Award semifinalist, go and do that. Jonathan Song is in first place. Let's say 38, and I'll do 31. Sure, why not? Sounds good. 38-31 Frogs.
And while we're here, I just wanna just want to reiterate something I called at the start of the season. I was called a little bit crazy by my family, who are UT grads. UT's lost four games, and I think they're going to lose a fifth this week against Baylor. What's up? Just going to say, called that. They were top 10 start of the year. What? No big deal.
You know, there was a big discussion this week on the board about who do you root for in a UT versus Baylor game?
UT.
Yeah, you kind of have to root for UT, right, to beat Baylor.
Yeah,
but you think
I want Baylor to lose every game,
right?
And then, it doesn't hurt me that UTA continues to lose. After I went listen to Ellinger, you know, we're back.
Yeah, but he just looks like a jackass since he says we're back and they're going to lose their fifth game this week.
There's nothing wrong with that either.
I mean, hey, I'm predicting Texas to lose this week because I want my prediction to be right.
Right. But you did say five games. You were right.
Yeah, I called this early.
Let me just say this. Look at it this way. If Baylor wins another one, then the coach is probably going to be out of there real quick.
No, that's what I'm saying. Go beat Texas.
Let him get out of there. You know,
and then if you're going to go 9-1 or whatever, this is the year to, you know, you're not going to make the playoff. So, yeah, as long as Baylor's not making the playoff, beat everyone else.
Yeah, that's
fine. They're not making the playoff.
Well, and here's some food for thought. If we beat Oklahoma, and then we come home and beat West Virginia, we'll finish ahead of Texas in the Big 12 this year.
Yes.
Good.
I love that.
I'll take it.
I will definitely take it.
You know what? Yes. And, you know, Sean, like you said, I just think Patterson, it's crazy, but I feel a lot more relaxed us going to Oklahoma than I do Oklahoma State.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Definitely. Well, we play a whole lot better in Norman than we ever do.
Yeah, we play a whole lot better. For some reason, we just got something to. But, you know, I don't get that same feeling when I'm in Oklahoma as I do Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State is almost a little dread because I'm like, let's see how bad it can get. And it does usually. You know, Oklahoma, we're always fighting to the end, it seems like.
Yeah
that's true.
And, you know, Oklahoma's been flirting. You know, they're kind of like Baylor. They've been flirting with it, too, and they finally got Baylor knocked off. So I'm hoping that that Oklahoma's flirting with the – you know, easy by, just barely easy by it. They need to be caught up on, too. So this is a week it's going to happen.
I certainly hope everyone's predictions come true because that would be an amazing way to kind of finish out this season.
Yeah.
So that would be nice. All right. Well, looking forward to a Frog victory on Saturday. Looking forward to a very good basketball season coming up. And so with that, I think we've come to the end of the podcast. And unless am I missing anything, are we good? Nope,
we're
everyone's
good.
Already throwing up frog signs. All right, so I want to thank everybody out there who's listening to us. We are available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, pretty much everywhere you buy podcasts these days. Of course, you can go to killerfrogs.com, sign up for a free account, and discuss TCU athletics with the rest of us. And with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. It's the time where we get the frogs up and we get to say...
Go Frogs!
Go Frogs!
Woo!
All right.
Yeah.
How about that for a quick?
That was nice.